I was doing the show The View, and as you may or may not know, Whoopi Goldberg is one of the hosts of the show. And I pitched the producers the idea of doing my Whoopi Goldberg impression on the show, and I was like, it might be, she might be feel weird about it, or I never met her, so, you know, she's a big star, you never
know. She might just be like, oh, pick Whoop, let him do it.
That's so stupid. I don't see what the big Whoopi is. There's a knock at the door. I answered it, and it was Whoopi herself. And she said, yeah, I think you should use these. And she gave me her glasses, her, like, purple, kind of like John Lennon-y round glasses. And she said, like, this is going to help. And she, like, she helped me out with it. She gave me the glasses to wear.
Do you know, I've known who Whoopi Goldberg is my entire life. I've never even noticed that she has unique glasses or anything.
What?
Ever.
Oh, really?
So to me, a Whoopi Goldberg impression without the glasses is the same thing as a Whoopi Goldberg impression with the glasses.
That's funny. It's not like doing Groucho Marx without a mustache.
Right. Then you'd be Chico.
That's true.
You know, they look very similar.
They do.
Marx brothers.
Well, they're brothers.
No, I know, but like really similar.
So does Harpo.
I know, all three of them.
Yeah.
But Zeppo's a little more handsome.
Handsome.
Anyway, we're off on a tangent.
Okay, well,
here's the show.
So speaking of tangents, get ready for the show.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
You're listening to Life is Short. I'm your tangent-prone host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
With me, as always, is my more...
Succinct?
Yes. I was going to say streamlined, but succinct is better. It's more succinct. And why are we talking about the Marx Brothers and Whoopi Goldberg?
We shouldn't have been talking about the Marx Brothers. That was my fault. That was me not being succinct.
Yeah, weird. That's uncharacteristic.
Of me.
Yeah. It's not a characteristic.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi, and she like, she was so cool about it. It's been a while since I've done it, so I don't want to.
Well, she's cool about most things, wouldn't you say?
She is fucking cool. You know what's cool about it? She takes her time with her words.
Mm.
And it's all very like, she's very deliberate, but she's a great, she has a great voice.
Beautiful voice.
Which I don't have, so it's not a great impression. But she was so cool to me, and we had so much fun on the show. I had fun bantering with her.
Do you know what movie I like of Whoopi Goldberg's?
Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Love it.
Yeah,
what
was
it? You know another movie I like of hers?
What?
Ghost.
I do love Ghost. You know, I saw it recently. It's hard to watch Ghost and not get...
teary.
A little emo. It's incredible. And Demi Moore. Demi? I still don't know.
I think it's Demi.
Anyway, I was going to say a humble braggy thing. I've met her and I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to say it then, Demi. Why were we talking about Ghost? Because our guest today is not only Ghost, the movie, but... Whoopi played a medium in that movie.
Oda Mae Brown.
Yeah.
It's a fun name to say.
It is a fun name.
Yeah. Rolls off the tongue.
Oda Mae Brown. What a great name. Who wrote that movie?
I don't know.
It's so good. Fuck.
Don't get me started on Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze. Yeah, I won't because we don't have time for it. But today our guest is a non-fictional medium. Her name is Teresa Caputo, better known as the Long Island Medium.
Yes. The world knows her as the Long Island Medium, which is a very popular show.
Yes, but maybe some Caputos are listening, and they know her as Teresa or Mom.
And
or,
Teresa.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is the Long Island Medium, which was a show on TLC for a number of years. I think 9 years, maybe.
I think it's still on, no?
I don't know.
But I'm sure you can find it on a streamer.
Yeah, you can stream it.
Yeah.
And she is, as you're about to hear, a very down-to-earth, normal, I would say, person who just so happens to have these extraordinary abilities of seeing and communicating with dead people.
It's like Haley Joel Osment in The Sixth Sense, which we talk about.
She's like a grown-up, real-life female version of Haley Joel Osment.
In fact, she said, we should save this, but she said when she saw that movie that was like an eye-opening experience. It was enlightening for her, like, oh my God, I'm not alone. That's how much you could identify with that character. Mm. Anyway, so you be the judge of – it fascinates me. I mean, regardless of whether or not you believe in it, it's just – God, is it fascinating. The whole idea of an afterlife and somebody here on Earth who might be able to communicate with them, it is just – doesn't it? Hasn't it always interested you?
And it is very interesting. And to test her powers, we wanted to give her a bit of a challenge. And since Justin is pretty easily Googleable – we didn't want her to do a reading on him, and because I was too scared to do it,
really?
my girlfriend and Justin's friend, Maggie, had a reading done.
Yes, we've talked about Maggie before on the show, but this is probably, definitely the most you're going to hear from Maggie. So you'll hear that a little bit later in the interview, just to hear an example of what Teresa does, how she works. And, of course, it was over Zoom, so she claims that it didn't limit her abilities. We're going to talk to Maggie as well at the end of the show, just to get her thoughts on how it went. And right now, we're going to get Teresa's thoughts on life and the afterlife and all things in between. Coming up next, my interview with Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, ooh, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hello, hello again, shaboom, and up and we'll meet again.
How are you, Teresa?
I'm great.
Where are you exactly?
I'm at home in Hicksville, Long Island.
Hicksville, okay.
Yeah, I still live right next door to my parents.
What did they think of your abilities? How old were you when these began?
Well, for me, you have to realize I've always been sensing and feeling things since the age of 4. Wow. I can remember seeing a woman standing at the end of my bed and seeing shadows and people speak to me in a room. And wow. I come from a very strong faith family and a very spiritual family. So
was it Christian based?
Catholic, Roman Catholic.
Catholic. Okay.
Yeah, but I always say, I tell people that because they want to know, like, do you have a faith? Do you believe in God? And mm-hmm. I am a practicing Catholic. And that's what I struggled with my gift. Because I was like, okay, God has blessed me with this gift. What am I supposed to do with this?
Right.
You know, I don't know any different. Nobody ever made a big deal about the things that I would say. Well, one of the biggest stories in my family was I was 16 and my nanny had just passed away. And we were at her house and I was standing there like talking to the drapes. And my cousin Nick came over to me and he's like, cuz, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm talking to nanny. And he's like, no, you're talking to the drapes. You're a weirdo. And he walked away from me.
Oh my God.
He's like, nanny is dead. We just came from her funeral. And
what does he think of that story now? Is it somebody like that who was skeptical at the time? How do they feel about it now?
Oh yeah. They're like, oh my God, she's always been doing this stuff. Like it's crazy. You know, and I went through a really long, most people, not everyone really knows my story. You know, of how I suffer from anxieties because of my gift, because I am empathic, because that's the way I communicate is through feeling.
Uh-huh. And so you must take on a lot of people's feelings. Yeah.
And, you know, I would always say, I don't know how this works. My mind just gets clear. And then I have no personal thoughts, feelings, or emotions. It becomes that of the soul. And I actually did this on Dr. Oz live with Dr. Amen. He's a brain expert, and he read my brain as I was reading somebody.
Oh yeah, I heard about this. Yes.
Yeah, and he's like, Teresa, literally when you were reading, your brain like flatlined, like you had no activity, but you were speaking. And he said that I was able to access a part of the brain that we typically don't on an everyday basis.
Right. So then, do you chalk it up to, if you were to like clinically analyze your gift, your abilities, do you chalk it up to receptive? You're open in a way that most people aren't?
I chalk it up to, and I don't mean to quote Lady Gaga, but I was born this way. I always felt like there was something missing deep within my soul. And I always felt, I would say to my mom at the age of 5 and 7, I feel different. I feel like I don't belong here. And my mom would literally say to me, you're not adopted. So there's no reason why you should feel that way. And until I embraced my gift. And here I was, I was in my 30s. I married, two beautiful children, still having my grandparents. I only lost my grandparents recently.
Oh, wow.
My parents are still alive. So I have all of these blessings in my life.
And you felt incomplete.
Right. But when I embraced my gift is when I felt complete.
Oh, interesting. And how exactly, what form did that take, Teresa? What is it, was it as simple as telling people, you know, like kind of coming out of the closet, so to speak?
Yes, absolutely. It was a part, you know, because, my poor kids going to school, they're in school and everyone's like, oh, what does your mom do? They're like, kids are like, oh, my mom's a nurse. My mom's a teacher. And there's my kids. Oh, my dad is an Italian importer and my mom speaks to dead people. You know.
Wow. Yeah. So what do they make of it? I mean, what was that journey like just through their eyes?
Honestly, they don't know any different.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
What got, I guess, odd for them was then people making a big deal about what I did. They're like, what's the big deal? You know, they would just see people coming to the house one way and leaving the house completely different, almost like reformed. I struggled with my gift for over 5 years once I found out what it was, what was happening to me and what I had the ability to do. Because I believe we all have that ability to connect with our own departed loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just able to sense everyone else's loved ones.
Well, I want to talk about how you went about embracing it and what steps you took. But even before that, I'm curious about this moment that you had when you were four. Do you remember that transformative moment? You said it was a lady at the foot of your bed.
I always remember a woman at the foot of my bed. And I used to have these reoccurring nightmares of a man chanting, they were coming for me, they were coming for me. And this woman would always be standing at the foot of my bed. And it was almost like she was protecting me. And I was well into my 30s. And I saw a picture. I was at my grandmother's house. And I'm like, Graham, who is this woman in this picture? And she's like, that's my mom. And I'm like, shut up. I'm like, that is the woman that has been sitting at the end of my bed since I'm four.
Wait, this was your mom? This was your grandmother's mom?
Yes.
Wow.
So this was my mom's grandmother. It was incredible. It was like when I first, if you want to say, came out about my gift.
There's something chilling about just hearing you say that. But at the time, was it comforting or was it more scary?
Oh. At the time, it was definitely scary. My mom, I would wake up with blood-curdling screams. Like, literally, my mom would say she would come into the room and she'd be, like, expecting someone, like, murdering me. Like, these night terrors. I mean, so bad that one night I convinced my father and my brother to go up on the roof at 3 o'clock in the morning because there was a man looking in my window.
But then the figure of the woman, would that kind of, like, mollify, would that calm you? And did you feel protected by her?
At that time, yes. So what was happening was I was sensing other souls and other things. So she was there to protect me. So it all didn't come together until, like I said, in my 30s, I had gone to a spiritual awareness class where I was safely able to explore my gift. So I would come into this class. And for me, it was my way of saying, okay, this is my safe place where I can explore the gift. And I'm like, okay, well, who's going to want to come and see a medium? Like, I could not understand why God would bless me with this gift.
But surely you knew that that was a vocation. I mean, like, people go to mediums. Like, you saw Ghost.
Yeah, but you're taught, listen, I'm no youngster. I'm talking over 30-something years ago.
Uh-huh.
So literally Ghost, actually Sixth Sense was a really good description of me as a child, like how it was. And I would say things to my mom, and my mom never really made a big deal about anything. You know, and even people in my family, you know, we all have gifts.
Once you embraced it and you started using it to help people, I'm sure it changed. Did it get better? Did it get easier to deal with?
Absolutely. So in the beginning, I used to see things. You know, I would see figures of people. And
when you say figures, describe that. Were you able to make out features of their faces? Could you like make a police sketch of them?
I could back then.
Wow.
So what would happen was people, before someone would come for a session, when I would prepare for the reading, I would start to sense and feel things before the session. So I'd be brushing my teeth, look up in the mirror, and then all of a sudden there'd be a man standing behind me and be like, ah! And then he'd go away.
Oh, boy. Oh my God. The best. Or did they seem sinister ever? Did they ever seem like.
No, no, it was just for like a split second. Oh, just for that split second. So the best story that I have is the last time this ever happened was I was getting ready. I was at the sink. I was cleaning up before someone came, looked up. There was a young man standing at the window and he had on, he looked like the brawny paper towel guy.
Oh.
And yeah.
Okay.
So the young lady comes and I start seeing the whole image again of this man at the window for that split second.
She goes, oh, wow.
Oh my God. She goes, that was my brother. She says, that was my brother. She says, that is, we used to tease him and say that he looked like the brawny paper towel guy.
Oh my God.
Crazy. And that's the thing. Like, you have to understand something about me, Justin. I'm the first one to say that what I do is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, you don't seem in any way. I've never really spent time talking to a medium. But the prejudice about them, preconceived notion, would have been that they were, you know, like Oda Mae, like a little wacky.
Yep. And listen, but it's like anything in any occupation. Can I say that? Right. Like there's good and bad in everything, right?
Sure.
So, you know, that yin and the yang, that's what makes the world go around, right?
And you just seem so kind of reasonable and you seem connected to you seem present and not at all.
Absolutely. Because listen, you asked me this earlier, like when did this turning point happen for you?
Yeah.
And it was 9/11. Because I was struggling with my gift and I couldn't understand. And what happened was is I said to God, I said, I'm putting my gift in your hands. If this is what I'm meant to do, and if this is my journey here in the physical world, then I want to help people. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was that unfortunately, after we lose a loved one, we're left with burdens and guilt, maybe no answers. And all of these negative emotions do not give us the ability to heal. So that is what I use my gift for, is for healing purposes.
To help people heal,
And to move forward with their life with some sort of happiness and joy. And here I am, you know. So after 9/11, I opened my gift. And through a business card, I didn't even have a website. I had nothing. I had a business card and a phone number. And here I am.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny. It's interesting you say that, Teresa, because I would imagine if I were to die and I had a life in another realm, the first thing I would want to do would be to somehow get word to my family that I was okay. And I would not want them to spend the rest of their life in this physical world burdened by, as you say, guilt or any kind of sadness. I'd like them to be a little sad. It'd be crazy if they were like, you know, throwing parties the next day, you know, a mourning period. But I wouldn't want it to ruin their lives. I would want them to be able
That's the thing. Everyone is different, you know. And I wrote about that in my last book, Good Grief, that everyone is different. We're going to go through different stages of healing. We might go through in that order, or we might never, ever, ever feel those emotions. Uh-huh. Seeing a medium isn't for everyone, you know? Yeah. Is it the woman that, you know, loses her husband after being married for 65 years? Mm-hmm. Is it the parents that lose a child tragically?
What does that refer to, there being good grief?
So there's good in grieving. We can find goodness in grieving, that there is a good way to grieve. And I always try to tell people, look, we're going to grieve the loss of our loved ones for the rest of our lives here in the physical world. But the healing process is something completely different. And a lot of times people don't realize, like, I love people that'll say that they don't understand what I do, which is fine. And they'll go, I don't see anything. I don't feel my loved ones around me. And then all of a sudden spirit will say things and they're like, oh my God, yes, that has happened. I'm like, that's them. And you know, and that's the thing with spirit. Like, I get that this is hard to understand what I do. So, and there are common things that might happen, you know, throughout someone's session, because there are going to be common ways people die, common burdens and guilts that we carry. So with every healing message that spirit has me deliver, they have to give me something completely unique. Something there is no way anyone would know about.
Totally ungoogleable.
Exactly. Yeah. These and then they're little things. They could be of something that happened years ago to remind you of the happy times. They might talk about something that happened since they died to validate that their soul is with you and they're not missing out. The favorite thing that I love what Spirit does is they communicate with their personality. Because weird. I wouldn't know that personality. And I always say, whether someone died suddenly, or maybe you watched your loved one suffer for years and their disease took away that personality, how amazing is it for spirit to show that personality, to validate that from the moment the soul leaves the physical body, they leave behind every disability, ailment, negativity. They don't take it with them on the other side.
What is that like to see the how a message like that is received? Like, let's say it's from somebody who had declined in a very tragic way, and you're delivering this message that to you may seem totally benign, and then you see the way it's received and the emotion. What is that like to be the deliverer of that kind of thing?
It's the most amazing feeling, but more importantly, a validation that this is what I'm supposed to do here in the physical world. Because to have someone come and I can feel their pain, their sorrow. You have to also understand, during a reading, spirit brings us through this emotional roller coaster. They give us this ability to feel and acknowledge the pain, the sorrow, the loss, and the grief. And then in the next breath, they're giving us the gift of laughter. And to watch someone smile. And it just happened the other day. And it's happened numerous times. I had read a woman that unfortunately lost her son to suicide. God. And she was smiling at the end of the reading. And he literally said to me, "Teresa, thank you for giving my mom the gift of laughter again."
And I
said to him, "Jaden," I go, "you did it yourself. You did it. I'm just delivering the message, you know."
Wow. Did that spirit feel guilt? Did they have guilt about, you know, creating so much sorrow for the mom?
No, it wasn't guilt. He was sorry for what it had brought her, but he explained to her like what had happened, what had led up to it, and, you know.
And was that did that seem comforting to her?
It changed her life. The grief is still there. She'll feel that emptiness, but at least she has some type of peace.
Something
to say, okay, he knows of all these things that we're doing in memory of him. He's there. He sees us. And if he wasn't okay, he would not be able to acknowledge these things. I say to people too, if spirit wasn't in a good place, it's almost like human beings. Negative people talk about negative things, right? Positive people talk about positive things. Even though I treat spirit like my children and I say, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Oh, really? What's an example of something negative maybe that a spirit did happen to blurt out or express to you?
Would be like if, say, a father figure or someone was apologizing for the way that they treated someone. Those are hard messages. Sometimes people don't want to hear from that person. But the soul, because I always say to people, a reading, the information you receive is what you need, not what you want.
Right.
And sometimes we don't realize what we need until after we experience something like this.
Right. Does it ever become like dramatic to the point where the person doesn't want to hear anymore from somebody?
No, that has happened twice. The first time that ever happened to me was probably about 14 years ago. Man came to my home and he sat, arms folded. I said to him, I said, I don't know if this is for you. And he said, no. He says, I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. I said, okay. I said, but I feel like I'm being blocked. And he seemed very nice. I mean, he didn't, you know, but I think there was almost, it was so much sorrow and burden carried to the departure.
Right.
And so I said to Spirit, I said, look, I'm not going to sit here and go all day back and forth for an hour. I said, you need to step forward and really tell me what it is that he needs to hear. Because sometimes spirit goes slowly into, you know, messages. And his wife came forward and his wife passed.
Spirit can be long-winded.
Yeah. She started saying some things and he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, Teresa, you're right. He says, this isn't for me. I'm not ready.
Wow.
And, he said, I thank you for your time and for your insight. And he left.
Wow. And it was the woman, it was his wife.
His wife. He was so broken. And he felt that he didn't do enough for his wife. And
My God.
Yeah. And she was trying to comfort him, but he was just so broken from it.
He wasn't receptive to it.
And then there was one other time I was doing a live show. I was doing an arena. So I think there was about 5,000 people. And I was the way up in the, because when I do like a live show, like,
you get into the audience.
I'm right in there. I want to be right in front of the person.
Yeah.
And it was a gentleman, and his son had died. And he was sobbing. And, you know, you're standing up in front of 5,000 people on a big screen. And oh, he dropped the mic and walked out. He couldn't handle it.
Holy shit.
Yeah. But there was healing there, you know. And I get it. And I say to people, listen, this isn't for everyone. You know, seeing a medium isn't for everyone. Some people, you know, I read a woman recently, and she was at peace with her dad's passing. Like, she had no burdens or anything. Mm. And she goes, I just wanted to make sure that he was okay. That was it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then other people come and they're so broken.
Do people ever come, Teresa, and you're it's just like you're not seeing anything? I mean, that must happen, no?
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
It's also different if someone doesn't acknowledge anything.
Yeah.
You know, I can also feel if I'm delivering a message and I'm like, I don't know. I'll say, I don't know if this is right, but I learned a long time ago, this is who I am. I have an amazing and beautiful gift. I will never try to prove or defend my gift to anybody.
Right, because that must become exhausting. That must be turn into like 90% of what you do.
But that's not the point of what I do.
No, Justin.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean to be rude. I start off all my speeches. I don't care if you believe in what I do.
Right, right.
All I care about is that you know that there truly is more to life than just here in the physical world. But more importantly, that your loved ones are with you. You have not lost that soul bond. They are still there communicating with you, giving you signs and symbols. That's it.
You said you were brought up Catholic. You're still Catholic.
Yeah.
You have a very strong faith and belief system. How has that altered? How has that strengthened? I would imagine it strengthened your beliefs.
It really has.
God.
You know, I mean, growing up, I mean, who wasn't afraid to die, right? I'm not afraid to die. Look, I don't want to die, but let's face it, we're all going to die at some point, but I'm not afraid.
This is probably an obvious answer, but what was it about 9/11, was it something? Was it just the amount of death that the amount of tragedy that it caused?
Absolutely.
That prompted
it's that,
you to.
It's kind of just in like this pandemic, you know, where people are passing and there's no closure. I choose not to use the word closure because I feel closure is so final.
But, it implies an ending,
Yeah, and really with in death, the only thing that has ended is that physical connection. That physical bond, but not the soul bond. Hmm. And like with 9/11, people perished and there was nothing left of them. They could not be found.
Right. Yeah.
And this pandemic, people are dying alone. People weren't able to see their loved ones. And, you know, that's, you know, really hard as well. They're not even able to celebrate or honor their loved ones in a way. And the thing that I know that my gift will be able to bring people some type of comfort and peace
comfort,
is that spirit will say, like one of my symbols is spirit will step forward in a three-piece suit and spin around and come out in jeans and a t-shirt. That's my symbol for where they want to thank someone for the way that they chose to lay them to rest. And then they'll have me go on to say what we do with the physical body, they don't care. And not trying to sound cold or rude, but it's for us. So they don't want us, because you know the term that we use, oh, they must be turning in their grave. Did you see what you laid your mother out in?
Yes. Yeah, I've heard some Elvis Presley renditions that have gone with that saying. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. So they're like, hey, look, thanks for taking care of my body, but I don't really care. That's how I would think I'd be as a ghost.
Because we're not a part of it. Our body, it's like, I use the description of dry ice. Like, you know how dry ice is and it just like vaporizes?
Yeah.
That's what our soul is like.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
You have a family, 9/11 happens, you have this epiphany, and you're compelled to use your gift. How do you then become a professional medium? How do you then go to get to the point where you're at now?
It was a long journey. Literally called up my mom and I said, I talk to dead people, you tell dad. And I hung up the phone.
Yeah. But she's like, wait a minute, are you gay? No. She sounds like somebody who would be open to that.
Completely. I would not be where I am without my mom, you know, and my grandmother. She was also very spiritual, you know, and has had spiritual experiences. So not to the level of what I did things, but.
So they believe you fully. They when you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A 1,000%.
It must be comforting to them.
You're
communicating with their mothers and their. Yeah.
So what happened was, is I just started, it was all through word of mouth, people coming for readings. And then Courtney Mullen and Victoria Woods, Courtney's my manager and Victoria works on my team now. Courtney came to, unfortunately, they lost their dad and they had come for a reading and it changed their life. And they were like, everyone should have this opportunity. This gift after losing a loved one. And Courtney is involved in television. So she had came to me and said, oh, you want to, do a television show? I'm like, yeah, all right. I didn't think anything of it, And
Was that ever anything you aspired to do? No. Like, did you act in high school? Were you ever into show? But no. Okay. Did you have reservations about it? Like, I don't want to be known. It's like you said, already it's weird that your kids go to school and they're like, yeah, mommy talks to dead people. So now you're dealing with a whole other element of not only do you have this ability and this kind of like strange to understand thing for people, but also now potentially you could be famous. So you're dealing with that. Did you ever hesitate at all to pursue that?
Well, the interesting thing, Justin, is because I never thought for one hot second that I would be quote unquote famous. I still don't think I'm famous. When people say like, I live here, I'm like, you know my show, you've seen my show, like you know who I am.
Yeah.
And whether people really understand this or not, I literally say all the time, I'm just Teresa Caputo. I'm from Hicksville, New York, and I talk to dead people.
Yeah.
I
gotta say, there's nothing performative or presentational about you. You just seem so kind of like down to earth and like you really do seem like Teresa Caputo from Hicksville, Long Island. Like
That's it.
It makes me wonder if you had just like performing reservations or, like being in front of 5,000 people with a little headset and like.
Justin, I have a diarrhea attack every time I'm about to hit that stage. Like, I am so nervous.
Wow. Okay, still, but before you go on the stage.
Before I go,
good.
I literally don't have diarrhea, but I do.
Okay, no. But I was hoping, Teresa, actually, that I think they mentioned this to you, and totally understandable if it's not something you can do even, is my brother's girlfriend is Maggie. That's I live with Maggie, and Maggie's had dealt with I'll just say it. I mean, she's had a lot of loss in her life. And
so I've been already writing. I've been writing mom, dad. You have to understand. Feel
God,
things differently. I was already feeling. So if you want to bring her in, I could, because I don't want to start saying things and then.
Yeah. Teresa, I would love that. Yeah. Hold on one second. Sure. Let me grab her. Thank you.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Teresa, thank you for agreeing to
chat
with me.
I always say I have such an amazing and beautiful gift. And if someone needs the gift of healing, then I'm willing to do that. Are you familiar with how I work on how I feel and see spirit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So
I have seen your show before.
Oh, perfect. So what happens is I feel an emotional bond that you shared with someone here in the physical world or the way that you knew them here. Then they typically make me feel the way that they departed. Okay.
Okay.
Why they do that is to validate that their souls are at peace, but more importantly, that they are still with you.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So as I was talking to Justin and I was like, I always just doodle and write. I felt that there was a father figure present. Now, if it's not your dad, it could be a grandfather, it could be an uncle, somebody that was like a father to you. Justin, it could also be for you. And then there was also a mother figure, but more importantly than that, because I am going to say this, there's about six souls that are there, that are there right now. Someone did labor my breathing. So that's my symbol for that they died from something of the heart, lungs, or breast, something with the breath, or they filled up with a fluid. Because I just felt like I was drowning.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
I do. Yes. My mother passed from lung cancer.
Okay. So know that this is her way of saying to you that she does not want you to remember her struggling to breathe. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Because what she did is she laid me in a bed. Now, when I describe something to you, you need to place it on how it fits in your life. Okay. Mm-hmm. She laid me in a bed. She held my hand and she had me watch her take three deep breaths. And then I heard something. And then she passed. That's my symbol for if somebody either witnessed the passing or, more importantly, validating that they did not suffer to their death.
Wow.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you sit with your mom's physical body after she departed?
I did not.
Okay. So two things, because I'm going to go back to the holding of the hands. That's my symbol for that nothing was left unsaid. So sometimes that'll be a validation for someone that they did do that. Sometimes it is for someone that did not, and they might have a regret or feel bad about not being able to quote unquote say goodbye or not be there.
Yes.
So
I certainly.
So know that it's her way of saying she does not want you to feel that way.
Wow.
Nothing was left unsaid. Did you just say something to her now, like, I love you, Mom, or I miss you?
I just thought about her and that moment and that guilt.
Perfect. Because she just said, I love you too.
Not being there.
Is your mom gone for some time?
Yes.
Because she goes, Teresa, she goes, look how big Matt's got. Look how big she is. She's so beautiful. So that's my symbol for when someone loses someone and we feel that they might have missed out on a lot of their life.
Yes. Yes. I was just turning 16. I was young, 1997.
So know that is your mom's way of saying that she has not missed out.
Wow.
Do you, did you write something about your mom? Because she showed me a yellow piece of paper and wrote my hero on the top of it. That's my symbol for where somebody wrote something in honor and or in memory of their departed loved one.
I think I wrote about her in my college as a writing piece for college entry. And I mean, I've certainly written journals about her and
so know that,
personal.
Know that she knows. Look, I know that might sound odd, but that's something that I would not know about that.
Yeah.
Validating that she wants to thank you for the amazing and beautiful tribute that you gave her. And again, don't take things for granted. I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
They don't teach this shit in school. I always tell people I went to DKS University. Don't know shit. What?
Yeah. It sounds like an actual school.
Yeah, it's my school.
Yeah.
I'm still going there.
Yeah, I teach there.
Yeah.
I'm the dean of admissions.
Your mom showed me a gardenia, gardenias. When spirit shows me gardenias, it's my symbol for it could be favorite flower, or more importantly, you're smelling things that remind you of your mom, and there's no reason why you should be smelling it. Could be a perfume. Sometimes I'll smell French toast and no one's cooking it because it was something that my grandmother always made me.
But you know what's really interesting when you said gardenia and it reminded me of flowers and something that sort of symbolized her and it was part of the funeral and something that I linked to her is an iris, a flower, and it's just bloomed, a yellow iris in our garden.
Perfect.
And so when I saw that, to even today I saw it and I've been taking pictures of it. It's beautiful. And it just reminds me of her.
Perfect. So, but when things happen like that, know that your mom's soul is with you at that exact moment. Look, it's very easy. Well, it's not easy for me to say these things to you. Well, we might think that it's common, but those are the little details that nobody else would know, right? Things that you do, things that you've done. It validates that she has been with you throughout this. She also tells me there also has to be something else. somebody passed from something of the throat or they were not able to communicate in the end because they're restricting my throat.
I do know my grandfather had something similar to that where he was choking of fluids. I was not there. It's possible other members of my family.
Okay. So just know that they're all together on the other side?
Yes.
Do you know someone that died tragically?
Yes.
Because I'm starting to taste blood, and that's my symbol for when someone died tragically. I can feel like a little bit of I don't know if you're afraid if they're not going to come through or step forward or what they might say or not say. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I had both my father and my brother pass tragically, separately in accidents.
But tragic.
Yes.
Because I got the blow to the chest. And then, see, this is what happens. They bring me through the departure because they don't want you to feel the suffering. What they stand together, they don't separate. So that means that it comes, their information is coming from the both of them, but you have to place it separately. Your brother, I feel, takes responsibility for his departure. Now, when a soul takes responsibility, what that means is that spirit does not want us to feel that we could have prevented or done anything to prevent the passing. They take responsibility for, because it doesn't mean that they intentionally take their own life. What it means is that they take responsibility for their actions or sometimes non-actions that cause or attribute to their passing.
Interesting.
Did you have a dream of your brother?
I do.
Perfect.
Yes.
I don't dream of my loved ones that have died. What your brother did was he showed me him standing. This is just my symbol. Him standing at the end of your bed, you seeing him vividly, and he is fine, smiling, healthy, right?
Yeah.
That was his soul's way of coming to you to let you know that he was okay.
Wow.
Because that's how he wants you to remember him.
That I do dream often.
Oh, that's so lovely.
And it's like and then I wake up and like it's confusing because it takes a minute to.
It's so vivid.
Well, it's very vivid. Like my mother, I'll have dreams of her, and I'll wake up, and of my brother.
Vivid.
And they're just right there, and then I remember. Oh, they're not here. But it felt so real. Like they were.
That's
there.
The difference between a dream and a visitation.
So strange.
So how can you connect with a necklace or I typically spirit doesn't show me this way. They had me write locket and then they had me write a heart and then a necklace. So I don't know if they're just, but they had me draw this heart. So I don't know if you connect with hearts or if there's a piece of jewelry of your mom's or something that you have.
Yes. I do have a locket that was given to me, a necklace that has a picture of my mother and myself in it.
Perfect.
And I keep it in a box.
Oh, how sweet. But I love how she had me write this. Can you see that?
Yes.
And then,
hearts.
Yeah, and everything is with hearts.
I love it.
Whose birthday is now? Your mom, someone just brought forward primary color balloons. So if it's not today or the week of, my now becomes this 3-month period. So I feel, of course, someone will have something in a 3-month period. So it has to be then more than one thing in this 3-month period. So what freaking month are we in now?
We're in May. I have to think about what day is it?
April, May, June. It would have to be birthdays.
April.
Okay.
End of April, my brother's birthday.
Perfect.
April 30th.
And what's coming up also? And, or an anniversary? It could be an anniversary of a death.
end of July, my brother had his accident. And so those fall around the same time, the beginning of August. My mother and my brother, years apart, but right. It's always that time of year.
Can you connect with the number 12? I don't like to waste time on numbers because I'm the first one to say I misinterpreted something, I don't understand something. Yeah. When it comes to numbers, it could be the 12th of a month, it could be the month of January, the month of February. I don't care how you could connect with it or an age, like, oh, when I was 12. Yeah.
I think that's the age difference. And that's the thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Between you and your brother?
Yes.
I don't know what it is with your brother. I feel, and I always say this is why I'm good at what I do, because I always say things, even though I don't even, like, I have like almost 20 years of signs and symbols tucked away in my hair. No, only kidding.
How does that feel?
So when spirit makes me feel like I could feel something, but I can't grasp it. It's like either there's like this, if that's the way that they weren't so forthcoming with certain things or like emotions or like this fear. And it's just like, I keep feeling like I just keep hearing him say, it was a freak thing that happened the day that I died. And no disrespect to your brother's departure. Do you understand that?
Sure, yes.
It was like, how could this happen? You know, like, this is crazy. It's like, hypothetically, like if I drove this road every day, like how did I crash at that turn? I know this turn. I know this road.
Yes, exactly. It was on a turn and on a road that we all knew for so many years.
So,
and he raced motorcycles very, very good in precision, and he was very good at what he did.
Yep.
And so for something like that, and he drove so much. So.
Well, I just want to say several things to you. How he also got me to say this was he showed me, when spirit shows me a pothole and a squirrel in it, it's my symbol for that. I know, so weird. Squirrels. So random. Yeah,
I love squirrels.
Oh, do you?
She loves squirrels. Yeah.
I channeled a
squirrel. We've been seeing a lot of squirrels lately.
I channeled a squirrel once before, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Right. Somebody had a squirrel as a pet. It was the most craziest thing.
Oh, wow.
My God.
But so when they show me that, it's my symbol for where we had to maneuver a vehicle or something in a manner. And then when they show me sand, it's a wipeout. It just means that there was like this, again, a freak thing that happened. And I'm going to say this, that there's like this thing, like, I feel like he's defending his driving. He's like, I wasn't even driving crazy that day. He's like,
whoa,
I've driven crazier, Teresa. He's like, you have no idea. He's like, I was like Evel Knievel in my day.
Oh my gosh, Evel Knievel. They used to have, my brothers had these Evel Knievel outfits growing up. And it was like a running joke in the family. Many years ago, I spoke to a medium, and the same sentiment came up. She didn't know, and she had said that similar thing, negotiating the curve. I can't believe, like, he was disappointed in himself, the fact that that was not.
Well, I didn't feel the disappointment. You know, a lot of times when people say this to me, they'll say, oh, I've heard this before. When spirit repeats things through a medium, whether it's the same medium or a different medium, it means it's something that we had to hear again. And maybe this is to clarify, like, if you remember what your brother said, he was taking responsibility for that day. Yeah. You understand that? And it wasn't, and it was like, it was so crazy, Teresa. I've traveled this road. I've driven crazier before in my life. Like, how the heck did this happen? You know, and not wanting us to carry this burden or guilt. Do you still have his license or something about his wallet? And then he wanted to talk about his jeans for some reason. Something denim.
I used to make fun of his jeans.
Perfect.
Because... because he was a night owl, and he would just be going out as I was going to bed. And he would ask me if his outfit looked okay, and I always told him he dressed like 80s. I was like, you gotta, like, change your jeans. Like,
perfect.
This pleated thing's not working.
So
welcome back, Cotter.
The cute thing about the jeans is because I kind of didn't understand something, or he was trying to maybe get me to say something that I wasn't familiar with. So I just wanted him to validate that.
Maybe he was making fun of your jeans.
Maybe he was.
Oh, that was so sweet. He just said, he goes, I could never make fun of her. She was always so cute.
Oh, that sounds like something he would say.
Like, he just made me feel like he just gave my heart this hug. Do you remember years ago, when you would go to like your grandparents' house and they would have like your name like etched in the door jamb or like your height. Mm-hmm. When spirit shows me that and then they show me a tree, that's my symbol for where we either wrote something or had something carved in memory of them. I don't care if you put it in cement or if it actually wasn't a piece of wood or if you did like do a tree or a bench in memory of him.
Oh, in memory of him.
But he keeps writing a name and I don't know what it is or carved it. And then he keeps showing me the cement.
Oh,
where he died?
This is, no.
No, I feel like it's somewhere like a vacation house or like a house.
We did have a lot of, the house we grew up in, the basement, which is appropriate. My mother put our art on the basement walls so she didn't have to show. Uh-huh. There was so much of it. But there was a lot of drawings and a lot of height maps. And my brothers were both right on those. And he did, and something that comes to mind is he used to give me monkeys every year for my birthday, bags. And at Christmas, he would come to visit me in college and he would bring monkeys because he knew I liked them. And he had it was the initial M, and I would put it on my desk and it had a little monkey on it. So it was my initial, it was a little, so I've had that for several years. And that's what I can think about.
It's your connection, so whatever you, I'm not going to get that. Mm-hmm. So I kept seeing that. Remember that, but I didn't see the inside of it. Remember the plastic monkeys that you would get. You guys are too young for this, probably.
Yeah,
you
know, the
barrel,
red, the
barrel,
yeah, of barrel of monkeys.
Oh yeah, and they would hang those from each
yeah,
other.
I love those.
He gave me those. Oh, okay. He gave me those 1 year.
I didn't know what that was.
He gave me those. Oh, that's so funny. I forgot about that. I had so many monkeys. I started giving them away to my friends' kids as I got older. I was like, what am I going to do with these?
Do you still have the box of his belongings? He just brought me to a cardboard box. So that's my symbol for where someone has someone's belongings. But then I saw like generations of things.
Yeah, you do, right? From Florida,
yes.
That you got from Florida.
I do. I have his things here, and I my other brother has, I believe, a lot of his belongings.
Was there a child named after him or a form of a name? Or who was named after someone?
He was named after my father.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. He just kept showing me the namesake, and when they say John to me, that's my symbol for that someone was named after someone.
Oh, yeah. He was named after my father, so... Was Frank was my father, Francis.
But your dad is departed as well?
Yes.
He's very quiet.
He was very
He goes
quiet.
Like this. He looks at me and he goes, I don't know about you, Teresa.
That makes sense.
He was skeptical.
He's quiet.
Very quiet. Very, very quiet, but like very supportive. Like he just stands there, you know, and just very supportive. Did you just come across the picture of you standing in front of the house, the family home, or was there, usually when spirit shows me a house and we have a porch and then I see like people standing in front, it's just my symbol for that we were just going through old photos. And there's like, and there's this one special photo because he turned the photo to black and white and then burnt the edges around it. So that's my symbol for where there's one special photo that you always look at.
Yes. That's funny. I was just looking at photos and I found one where our family's together on the porch at our house. It was a rare photo because it was hard to get all of us in one place. So that's a special photo.
Perfect. So know that when you found that photo, when every time you look at that photo, know that the souls of your loved ones are with you at that exact moment.
That's really nice. I'm going to cry.
I'm going to cry. I can't believe you haven't cried yet. I'm going nuts.
I knew that you were going to be like this.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply. If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Hello, hello again, Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Teresa, is it ever like specific, like I'm seeing a Joe Montana rookie card that's kind of frayed on the edges, you know, like something like that?
I've only gotten that with a Pokemon card. No.
Oh, okay.
It all depends. Everyone is different. Everyone's messages are different. It depends on what people can handle, what they can't handle. Because there's this, even though you've lost so much, Maggie, there's this sense of, I feel that you have found some sort of peace, or that there's some type of, you know what, whether if this is what you believe, the validations, it's just like, you know that they're okay.
Is that
I
true?
I think after that tragedy, you have to either, you'll buckle if you don't find the, okay, just it gives you a different perspective of life and a different appreciation, and it allows you to let things that may bother other people, things that are insignificant, it allows you to see things differently, I think, at least for me.
Yeah, and not everyone feels that way. Not everyone gets to that point. Look, there are some times I can say to someone, did you just lose your loved one? Because I feel like it just happened yesterday. And they're like, no, this happened 20 years ago.
They're holding it. They're holding it.
And it's so raw, as if it just happened yesterday.
I couldn't do that. I think that's too fragile of a state for me, where I wouldn't be able to live like that. So I've had to sort of, you know, not saying I'm at a point where it's easy, because it'll never be easy, but I'm sure you've seen a lot of that.
I've seen and felt so much the way that people pass. And there was something that I admire about you. You're this young, beautiful woman, and you've lost so much. And to have this mindset, well, I could feel that from your soul on how you are. This is the moment that I love right now, is that because this is why I do what I do, that hopefully people that do lose a loved one, that they can get to that place where you're at.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, because it's not something that I don't say that to people. You know, usually they're so fragile, and I can feel that. But your brother kept playing music. So you have to be able to connect with music. I don't know what the what it is, if it's rock bands, Rod Stewart, whatever it is, but he's like playing all this music and it's like such a different collective.
Yes. Oh, he always had it was funny because he liked so many different types of music. He never was like specifically on one type, and his collection was so Like, it was like strange. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Eclectic.
Yeah. But,
so that
eclectic.
Explains
yeah.
the Rod Stewart, the yeah. Grateful Dead.
Yeah. All of, oh, he had oh, really? All those, the tapes. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
It was cassettes back then, so.
Wow.
Or albums.
Yeah. When was it that he died? 2003.
But he grew up, he was in the 80s, 70s, 80s.
Best years ever.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing, Maggie. Did you change a piece of your mom's jewelry?
I have her engagement ring. She left that to me.
Okay. Only because when Spirit shows me an engagement ring into a necklace, it's just my symbol that we're thinking about changing a piece of jewelry.
Yeah.
This does not mean you run to the jeweler tomorrow and you change
it. No, no.
It's just validating that, A, her soul was with you at that exact moment. Also, validating that if you do choose to change it, she supports that choice and decision.
Wow, that's good to hear.
Do you know, did somebody lose a child? Did somebody have a miscarriage or a termination?
My mother, she actually had, miscarriages, but she lost twins.
Yep,
they were born.
Look what she had me write, child.
The first.
She had me write, child,
whoa.
Miscarriage.
Oh, my God.
You just discovered this recently, right?
Well, no, I knew since I was younger. The first two that she had were twins, Peter and Paul, and they were her first children. And with my dad, and they died after 9 hours after they were born.
God.
And that was, they were on a naval base because my father was in the Navy flying, and so
she lost
they
three.
Told her it was risky because she was so petite, and it was back in the 60s, like early 60s,
whoa.
And and yeah, they passed.
So she lost three kids.
So she, yeah.
So if you look at my paper,
and she had
once
some of
again,
miscarriages
too.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. What's 32? Wow. Yeah, I see a number 32 right
now.
Oh,
I don't know. The age I wish I want to be, Justin.
Okay.
I was
like, weirdly, it's also O.J. Simpson's number.
No. Well, that's interesting because, see, when I doodle and I write, it's for a reason. So 32 could be an age. It could stand for the month of March and the month of February. It could stand for a year,
1932.
Interesting.
But
well, that's so.
Yeah, so that it's interesting. Yeah. People sometimes like to see my pic because I write.
I do.
I write things, and I'm like, because here's my little monkeys things that I was writing. I'm like, what is that?
Oh my god. Oh,
but,
weird.
But it's interesting that's when so you're in funny. Front of me and people are like, what are you writing over there?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you drew several penises.
I was gonna say, don't worry, they're not the lottery numbers.
You're just scribbling genitalia, Teresa. that is so really cool to see. Thanks for letting me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so
that's
much.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for trusting me with the souls of your departed loved ones, and for giving me that privilege of being able to channel them for you this afternoon.
Thank you so much, really,
you.
Teresa. I feel very privileged to have chatted with you and get that insight.
Yeah.
It's so nice. It's always like, it's very comforting.
Right.
And you provide a comfort to say, okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Everything is, everyone is still there with you. And I feel that.
Yeah.
And that's, you're very warm, so thank you.
That's awesome. Thank
thanks
you.
For letting me witness it. I feel like...
Are you okay? Do you need tissue?
No, I'll be okay.
I'm just waiting to see. I'm just waiting to see if you put that earbud directly back in your ear.
No, I'll do that. Yeah.
No, I just clean my ears. So
oh, that's fine.
His,
yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm scared of his.
Mine, I wouldn't trust as much. Thanks, Maggie.
Bye, Maggie. So nice to meet you.
That was more emotional for you.
It was.
Thank you.
Okay, really quick. What is your most commonly used emoji, would you say, when you text?
Oh, it's always the heart or a kissy face.
Oh, yeah, I like those two. Yeah.
I was going to say the poop emoji, but...
Well, you can. This is a safe space. We've said some other crazy shit during this conversation. I thought maybe the little... if you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play and why, Teresa?
Football,
yeah. Who's... the Jets?
No.
No,
I am a Cowboy fan. You know why? Because I always I thought I was going to be a Dallas Cowgirl cheerleader.
Uh-huh. So did I.
Yeah.
Yeah, what could have been.
I should have won.
Oh, so you, yeah. But they also had some great teams probably when you were growing up. That was probably your.
Yeah, I've always loved the Cowboys. And I recently went to the Football Hall of Fame. And I learned something. And I didn't realize how much the Cowboys and the Packers, like, shake NFL. Like, Oh, my God. I was so intrigued. Dynasties.
Yeah, Tom Landry and all those. There's some really great teams back then. And then they went through this period in the 80s where they sucked. And then they.
Yeah.
We got Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith again, and they built up the team. Yeah. They were great again in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know what's been fun? I've been watching a lot of old football games, like games from like 1996, you know, and it's so fun. I forget who won or lost, so it's still exciting. Yeah. It's been a real treat. If you could have one snack food for the rest of your life, what would that be?
Oh, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh, yeah. They're great. Have you had the thin ones? Oh, yeah, they're thin ones that I sort of prefer because it's not as much chocolate. It's a little bit more of a peanut butter to chocolate ratio. What's your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, Sixth Sense. Yeah.
Well, just because you related so much, huh?
And Pretty Woman.
Yeah. You probably already knew this, but I've yet to see Pretty Woman in its entirety. I know. It's funny that this is the most...
Did you just hear that? That was my heart shattering.
Yeah, that's... The spirit of Gary Marshall.
Oh, God. There's just something about Julia Roberts and Richard Gere is just,
It's crazy. Yeah. So she's a prostitute, right? And he is like, he hires her.
It's crazy.
It's crazy to me that this is such a beloved movie because I only know the idea about it.
I just love, it's great. It's fantastic.
It's a classic. No, I'm ashamed. I know. I should see it. If you had to live somewhere else besides Hicksville, where would it be?
Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. Why?
I love Arizona. I just...
Huh.
And it's not Sedona. It's not the... It's just... Yeah. I travel all over and I feel so comfortable there, you know?
Oh,
I just love Arizona. And I love Middle America.
Me too.
Love.
Me too. I do too. There's a great, when you do go back to Arizona, Tucson, I love. There's a section of Tucson that is so like old fashioned. It's where and there's a great hotel. You gotta stay at.
The oldest mission is in Tucson.
Oh, yes. I think that sounds.
I went there.
It's familiar. Really? And in a place like that with that kind of rich history.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've already asked you this, but do you feel anything there?
I feel everything all the time. You know, it's just my world, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Next time you go, there's a great place called, I think it's called the Congress Hotel. I'll remember the name of it, Congress Hotel. It's where they cornered John Dillinger and they smoked him out.
No.
And in that fire, a couple kids died. There's some incredible ghost stories there and people have felt things and there's some amazing stories about people seeing things and smelling things and really cool. If you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, whom you've never met, or in your case, whom you've met, who would they be?
I'd have to say Blake Shelton.
Okay. Yep.
Gwen Stefani. I love them. I met them. I went to The Voice a couple of times.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just huge, 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 huge fans.
Okay. You're fans of theirs as a couple or their musicians, your musical?
Both.
Yeah.
In every way, shape, or form, I just love them. I just think they're adorable and I admire her. And
did they want you to do a reading for them?
No.
No, no.
No.
Yeah. They were just like, cool, you like us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else would I want to have dinner with? I don't know. I'm not, I'd love to have dinner with you, but.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, we've met, but.
It would be Justin Long, Blake Shelton, and Gwen.
I'm in. I'm into it. Who's your favorite Muppet, if you were a fan of the Muppets?
Oh, it'd have to be Miss Piggy.
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
Yeah. That was a trick question. If you could have one superpower besides the one you already have, what would it be?
I don't.
Were you ever like, oh God, I want to be able to fly? Or somebody said one recently that I loved was like, I want to speak every language in the world.
I don't know. My mind went totally somewhere else. I wanted to be like Bewitched, where I could just twitch my nose and my house would be clean.
Oh, great. That counts. I like that. That's good. I wouldn't mind that.
I'm very simple, Justin, believe it or not. Even people have this thing that, I'm high maintenance. I'm very simple.
No, I think that's what makes what you do and the way you do it so compelling is because there's something so accessible about it. Just witnessing what you did with Maggie, it wasn't like, I'm getting this sense. You didn't go into theatrics. It was just like, hey, look, this is what I'm picking up.
Yeah.
Really cool. If you could be reincarnated, I know you don't believe in that necessarily, but as a non-human animal. Oh, you do? Yeah, as an animal, or if you wanted to exhibit your spirit to a loved one, what form would you think you would take?
When you were talking, I saw an owl.
Oh, I'm really into owls. Funny, we have a lot of owls around here.
Yeah, an owl.
Mm-hmm. They seem wise. They seem like they carry a lot of important, knowledge. Maybe that's just from the cartoon owls.
Or just maybe the fact that they could spin their head completely around. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool too.
Because that's what I think people think is going to happen to me once I start channeling.
Right. They're amazed when you don't levitate and start throwing up. Would you rather be called unattractive or unfunny?
Oh, God.
I know both would suck.
Both would be. I would say more unattractive because,
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I don't think it cares what someone looks like. It's, who they are inside, so.
Right. Especially when you have such a good understanding of the afterlife, the non-physical world. It's like, okay, look.
Yeah.
This is not going to last, mm-hmm. Which Golden Girl do you most identify with? Dorothy, Blanche, Rose, or Sophia?
Oh, I was going to say Blanche, but I love the mother, Sophia.
Oh, yeah, Sophia.
That'll be me with my kids.
Yeah. You've got a bit of a Sophia sound, I will say. That's fun. How old are your kids now?
29 and 25.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Do they have any of your gifts?
So that's a little hard because I believe everyone has a gift. My son is extremely intuitive, very sensitive. Uh-huh. My daughter seems to possess a little bit more of myself. Where she's takes on other people's emotions and energies and things like that. So.
Okay. The Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Oh God, I'm gonna have to say the Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones. I knew you were gonna say it. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Okay.
Unless if it's a tiger.
You have a dog?
I had three, but now they're kind of living other places because I was traveling so much. So.
On tour, you were on tour.
Yeah, so it was unfair to them, so my son took Bubba, Victoria's fiancé took Bentley, and my friend Victoria Woods took Louie.
Yeah. Oh, nice, okay. Victoria Woods, the one you work with?
Yes, yep.
Oh, okay, cool. If you could only eat Meatloaf the food or listen to Meatloaf the singer for the rest of your life, you can only choose one, which means every time you hear a Meatloaf song, you have to leave the room or whatever, or you could enjoy Meatloaf the food. What do you pick?
I'm gonna say the song.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Who doesn't love an old classic? Come on.
Oh,
I
gotta
know right now. Do you love me?
Will you love me forever? Do you need me? Sure. Hey, if it comes back to New York, Teresa, you got to see, I don't know if it's come there yet, Bad Outta Hell.
I didn't see it, and I'm a huge Broadway person. I love Broadway.
I saw it in London. It was in London when I was working there. I saw it twice. You're going to love it. I can't thank you enough. This was such a fascinating conversation to have with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it very much.
Happened.
That's your spooky?
Yeah, spooky.
I thought you were going to do a Long Island accent.
Well, that happened. Yeah, she was a very thick accent.
It's a very distinctive
Hicksville. Hicksville, Long Island. And I'm so curious because I found myself so taken by her. First of all, I was just so charmed
by
her.
You sounded taken by her.
Yeah.
You said a number of times, you just seem like such a rational, down-to-earth person.
Well,
you're not performing at all, which it's true. She wasn't doing like Oda Mae Brown stuff, which I kind of expected.
Maybe that's why I felt that way so strongly. Maybe that's why I was so
disarmed by her. Because you went into it thinking Oda Mae Brown.
Yeah, she was going to be like, okay, I'm picking up some vibrations, Like she was some character in a movie. Mm-hmm. I guess it was Oda Mae Brown. But also, anytime I've seen a medium...
Or Patricia Arquette in Medium.
Yeah, but she I think she's more normal.
She's very flat. I mean, as Patricia Arquette tends to be. You know, that kind of, like, dry delivery.
Dry. I would say flat would suggest that she's not animated. But she is kind of... Yeah.
Patricia Arquette?
Yeah.
She's not very animated.
She can be. And her performance...
Have you seen that show?
No.
Oh.
Sorry. You've seen Medium?
Can I have the last 30 seconds of my life back? She was a very disarmingly normal...
Yeah, she was just like...
Regular... person.
Well, the most compelling examples of people that I would consider to be have those abilities, psychic, medium abilities, whatever, have always come in the form of somebody very blasé about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about my former, the guy, the hairstylist on Ed, the TV show Ed, Nathan Bush, who I've talked about, who was the best. But Nathan claimed that he had a very strong spiritual side, and he claimed he was really into... What's that Brazilian spirituality? I forget. But he had a very strong connection to the afterlife. And he would say very matter-of-factly, yes, I see dead people sometimes. Yeah, I see them. Yeah. I said, like, do you ever see any in here? We were in the makeup trailer. Do you ever see any in here? Oh, sometimes. I'll let you know.
See, I think that it makes sense that if you are someone who has been seeing dead people all the time for your entire life, like, at a certain point, you're going to become desensitized.
You're not going
to
be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. And she was, when you asked about the skeptics and how she treats that, you know, that pushback, she gave a very kind of matter of fact, like, I don't give a shit if you don't believe me kind of answer. She was like, you know, believe me or not, I'm not, my job isn't to try to convince you
that what concerned. I'm saying.
She didn't seem concerned at all.
So wasn't that compelling to you? I mean,
it was. I'm not, look.
Yeah, I can tell that you're a bit, you're not.
Well, of course I'm a bit skeptical. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
I'm a bit.
If you're not a bit skeptical, then she would be written up in science journals and she would, like.
I know. But there's no way to prove that stuff scientifically.
Of course not. But it's, I think... I would guess the scientific community at large does not believe that what she is saying is really possible.
So what do you what do you attribute it to? I mean, let's say it's not. Let's say – haven't you talked to people who are like, oh, yeah, friends of yours who are like, I saw a ghost.
I'm not saying I don't believe her or I do believe her. But here's what I'm saying. I think I went into this thinking about mediums that they had to fall into one of three categories. Either – they were
Goldberg.
They were either complete con artists and they were making the whole thing up,
mm-hmm.
or they were psychotic and they were seeing visions that just weren't there and they had something wrong with them.
Yeah.
But they really believed that what they were seeing was, you know, legit.
Mm-hmm.
Or three, they're totally right and what they're saying is completely 100% true. And I always thought it kind of had to be one of those three things.
Mm-hmm.
But after listening to that, the reading that she did on Maggie, I found myself falling a little bit in the middle, somewhere in the middle of it, because I don't think it necessarily has to be so black or white. You know, I don't think you have to be either psychotic and seeing visions or completely legitimately. I think there's maybe some embellishment going on. I think there's it comes from a real feeling. I think there may be some truth to it. I just think it's a mix, it's like a stew of it's a bunch of ingredients coming together.
I know what you mean.
I don't think she's totally making it up. I don't think she's completely full of shit. I don't believe that.
That maybe she picks up on certain things, certain energies, but you know, and I felt this way. I don't want to spoiler alert. We have another medium coming on, but I felt this way with him too, which was that there was a way to. I think some people are more empathetic than others, and she may be so empathetic, so sensitive to other people's vibrations and traumas and whatever, that maybe she picks up on certain things psychologically. And I just want to give a little bit more context about Maggie before she gets in, because I can't say this in front of her because it would be too embarrassing. But Maggie, for all the – you know, I know that she's here in this very specific – for this very specific reason, but people should know that she's just an incredibly positive, buoyant person despite all of the tragedy that she's dealt with in her life. So, and I'm sure you can hear that, but she's not somebody who seems to
dwell. I really admire her for that. She doesn't seem to really dwell on these tragedies, and I know you do too. It's probably hard for you to say because it's your girlfriend, and it's personal. So I just feel like people should know that before she comes in.
All right, let's get her in.
Okay, and here she is, Maggie Margaret. Pretty cool.
So
huh?
This is what it's like.
Yeah.
We want to hear what your impressions were of the reading.
Ooh, so that happened.
Well, we already did that part.
Oh. I was dying to do that. Well, I have to say, I'm very open to these kind of things because one of my aunts is, as I've mentioned to you before, sees. So since I was very little, she would, you know, talk to us about that stuff, and she's been written up, and you know,
What's her name again?
She's worked with police stations and investigative like detectives and whatnot. Her name's Jean Brown.
So you had some experience with this going into it. So with Teresa, I was downstairs during this, and you guys were up here. And at the end of the interview, having not seen it, was you came down, you seemed like very blasé about how it went. You're like, yeah, it was interesting. She was really nice. And Justin came down kind of weepy-eyed, and he seemed like he had seen a ghost himself. So I'm wondering if your immediate post-reading experiences have changed hearing it back or thinking about it more.
Yes. And I mean, one could say, oh, you can find anything out of that. But I think it is true that after listening to it back and seeing it, more personal things came up. I was like, oh, that's what she was sort of veering towards. And I just didn't pick it up at the time. Mm. Like, she kept talking about jewelry and my mother's ring and certain things that I just didn't get. And the namesake, my other brother and my nephew, and little things came up. And I've heard that before. Oh, this might not make sense now, but later on, and she even said, like, this doesn't make sense to me, but it has some significance to you. So.
Were you nervous going into it at all?
I kind of was, because you never know if you're going to, like, oh, my God, am I going to have a meltdown and, like, cry?
That's
and, like,
always
traumatic.
Been my fear about mediums and getting readings and stuff, is that, well, like you were saying your aunt would do, I would be afraid that I was going to hear something tragic, something, like, prophetic that was, like, you know, in a couple days, you'll be walking along the road.
But I don't think, I think there's a difference between a medium and a clairvoyant, right? Like, mediums don't tell you what's going to happen in the future, do they? That's
mediums
more clairvoyant.
Mediums are more the other side.
That's true.
People have passed and
see, and you asked her about that, Judd, at one point. You said, do you ever hear from spirits who are angry or disgruntled in some way? And she didn't seem to have any experiences with that.
She said there was one.
One or two.
Yeah.
I know, like, my aunt would say that things would come to her, but she didn't want to tell people. So she, like, if it was really bad, it's something that they didn't want to hear, she would kind of shield them. If it was something that she didn't think they'd be able to handle. Because you can't, like, outright say.
Yes. See,
clairvoyancy.
I was trying to put myself in your shoes when I was listening back, as much as I can put myself in your shoes. But I was imagining hearing all this information from a stranger about personal things about my dead loved ones. Mm-hmm. And I was imagining the skeptical part of me, the part of me that didn't really believe that she has these powers, I was imagining myself getting really angry with her even speculating about communicating with my loved ones. It seemed like, because by the way, if she is making it up, I'm not saying she is, if she is, that's extraordinarily disrespectful, you know?
Sure,
that's
nice and she probably struggles. Yeah. I would imagine having that gift, if we're saying, okay, that is true, she has this gift, that's got to be something that she struggles with, or anyone would struggle with, because it's like you're telling somebody something, and you have to, and usually the people that you're she's talking to would hopefully have an open mind. Otherwise, they wouldn't be sitting down with her.
It's true, but it's still a lot of responsibility, right?
It is. It sure is.
What really struck you, like, detail-wise?
Detail-wise?
Where you were like, holy shit, I can't believe
weird?
She knew that.
She said the accident on the road. She said that the curve, and that's something she wouldn't have known. That's
we
not something in the papers or anything like that. That was never documented where she would find that. And I didn't, I was thinking, and I think I may have asked you, did she even ask, like, she knew that tragic accident, she said, like, she was pointing to her chest, like, blood, but she, there was no time when I said.
Car accident.
I didn't believe
Did I say that? I don't think I did.
You may have.
I don't think so.
But
I don't
either
think
way,
so.
I think she captured, like, she said things that were very much like things that my brother Damien would say. Huh. Like, just she kind of captured his like spirit and his musical taste, and that's the second person I spoke with another medium, and she said the same thing about music and the road and it's very similar.
Really?
Like.
So it's almost like he's trying to communicate that.
And he's like, it was like stupid. It was like dumb luck.
I remember when you first told me about that story, that was what you said about it. You said he was on this road that he had been on a million times before and he knew it so well. And it was, and that's why I, also when she said your brother feels responsible for the accident, you know, like it was his fault. Like he shouldn't, he knew better. Like, he knew that road. And that, I thought, was really interesting compared to your father's accident, which was, like, you know, not even close to being his fault, you know?
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. And the monkey, when we were talking about the monkeys, and she said the barrel of monkeys.
Yeah.
And that's actually something that he gave me. They're probably around the same age, too, so... You probably grew up around that time period when those were popular.
She actually knew him really well.
But, I mean, not to pick... I don't want to pick apart everything that she said, but it felt real. It felt genuine. I have been to people where I know they're like these little pop-up shops where they're like, ooh, let me tell you
Yeah, you went to the Long Beach Medium.
Yes. The Coney Island Medium. She was not that. She's. You could tell
Epcot
she's an
Center
empath.
Medium.
You could tell she's an empath, truly, and
that's what I think. Because Christian, I mean, that's the thing with not when you don't see it, it's hard to even when she was her chest, she was feeling heavy in the chest, like unless she's just in a she's Meryl Streep, it seemed very genuine. It seemed like a really good.
I have to watch the video because there is a video that accompanied it, but I wanted to first just listen to it because I wanted to, you know, be in the shoes of other people listening to this podcast, and I wanted that to be the takeaway. But now I'm going to watch the video.
You should. At one point, she interrupts. We're talking to her response is very quick. Oh, he said this. And it was just like, she like cut us off to say, oh, he said this. And it was something he would say about the, oh, I would never do that to her. He was very... you know, sometimes you're with siblings, he's just very kind and very protective of me and just sweet, just so sweet. So, you know, it was a nice, like, testament to him. That's not right, the right word, but...
tribute.
It was a nice tribute, yeah.
So at the very least, even if... Well, at the very least, that's such a nice thing to have.
Yeah, and I... that salute, so toward the end, after I left, the salute from someone in the service, she said. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and I didn't know what she was talking about.
So I was thinking that could definitely, to me, that stood out as, like, my father being a pilot and serving the country. And
he was a pilot in Vietnam, right?
Yes, and he, I could see that very much being from him because... Justin, I mean, just the way she was talking to you about it, your compassionate and such a kind man. Oh, he's gonna, he's starting to cry. And you're such a generous, loving man. And when she's talking about this, enveloping you and saluting you, I know that my father would be extremely happy that I'm surrounding myself with two very stand-up, good, truly good men. And
that's nice.
And I thought, you know, that that's got to be him. I mean, he would be very happy and he'd be very pleased. He'd say, thanks for putting up with our...
that's such a pleasure. I wish I knew how to salute him back. That's how, we're probably very different in that regard.
Sounds, he's a hero. We were Boy Scouts. That's something.
I knew the Boy Scout salute.
You do know the Boy Scout salute. And I know him and my brother and my mother would be very, very pleased with the two of you.
Oh.
Very.
That's so nice.
Not to, like, throw on the compliments, but truly, you're well raised and just good men, really, truly.
And do you think they would like the podcast?
I think would that my mother would say, well, they're swearing a lot.
Oh, yeah.
She would be appalled. That
well, you said your mother's, I mean, she sounds a lot like our mother.
She does, yeah. Oh, very similar.
Well, I'm glad you got to have that experience.
Yeah, I did. I'm glad I did, too. And thank you, guys.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you, and thanks, Teresa.
While I have the microphone.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Can we talk about what Christian's wearing right now?
No.
Well, right, let me describe it.
Yeah, how would you describe it?
Is a white headband.
That's the only thing that's out of the ordinary. Okay, he's wearing regular. He's wearing gray
white,
shorts.
Snow white with ears, little cat ears that are pink on the inside.
Didn't you give him that headband?
I did to help. When I put a mask on him once, you know, because it was
all right.
Summer.
All right. Okay, he's coming.
All right.
Excellent.
It's a good thing you got that in there. And what other embarrassing tidbits can you share
with us? You know, the summertime is not the greatest for Christian because he has, you both have this beautiful Sicilian skin.
Thank you.
But he tends but to sweat. But sometimes it's more on perspired. The oily side. So in the summer, it's...
Uh-huh.
He's standing behind me.
And what well, type of, thanks for coming.
And what types of things does he enjoy behind closed doors?
So,
thanks for coming.
Christian loves puzzles in the morning. Every morning he's a creature of habit.
Thanks for coming.
He does like
so
a puzzle.
Funny.
Thanks, Margaret.
You
want thanks,
Margaret.
Nice to be able to witness that that reading.
Yeah, now I feel bad about saying that maybe it wasn't true.
Well, I mean,
you know what? Fuck it. It was true.
Well, I do know this. I know that it was a very meaningful experience,
mm-hmm.
and it affected somebody that we both care about in a very positive way.
And that's the most important thing.
Yeah. So thank you, Teresa. Thank you for that experience.
Yeah, and one final thing, a little bit off topic. This is a woman who can communicate actively with dead people. She doesn't know all the time, wherever she is, but yet... If given an opportunity to have dinner with three people that she's never met, Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani and you. I mean, nothing against Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani. They're talented and they're good musicians. But really? Of all the people?
I forgot about that.
Maybe that's actually too the like speaks to the truth of what she's saying.
Yeah, because she's sick of...
She can see anybody, Abraham Lincoln, and all these like famous dead people, and she's like, I'm sick of them.
Yeah.
Give me like a fun pop
she's
star.
She's like, I had Mongolian barbecue with Genghis Khan last week.
Let's read a letter.
Okay.
It's this one.
This is a letter from Kate.
Can you want me to turn the light on?
No, that's all right. Do I look like I'm squinting?
I did an old man, you push it away from my face. 5 feet away from your face.
I had bifocals. This is from Kate. Subject, well, that happened. Dear Justin and Christian, my name is Kate H. I like that she knows. She's heard a letter or two on the show. And I am from York in the UK. That's up north, I think, right? In York? I'm not going to try it. Aren't you proud of me?
In the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to reach out because I love the podcast.
I thought you just said you were
a teacher. I know, but then I got the better
of it. You got the itch.
I'm a key worker, healthcare support for individuals with mental health issues and learning disabilities. Although I'm not on the front line, I am unable to stay home during this pandemic. I also work nights, and you guys get me through my darkest hours, literally. Oh, thanks, Kate. It really cheered me up, that episode where Justin kept singing Green Day. I was due to go see them play live, but it's canceled due to COVID. Your version was well-timed. And I swear to God, I thought Billy Joe was with you.
What?
With laughter emoji.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sarcastic.
Yeah. I got excited until I saw the emoji. We are living through unprecedented times, and your quarantine episodes are just great. So empathetic and informative. I'm sorry, empathic. She said it properly. Empathic and informative. Dr. Dave is a hero. Oh, we got to do another quarantine episode. And Jerry, well, who doesn't adore that guy? You hear that, Jerry? I laughed so hard when you hung up on him. And then he called back. That's funny. Life is short is such a wonderful phrase and idea to keep in mind so we don't end up sweating the small stuff and waste energy and time worrying about things that may never come to be. I agree, Kate. I just wish I followed that advice more. I would like to mention that you speak about mental health in one form or another every podcast, and it's so heartening to hear almost all your guests sharing experiences. We truly are all in this shit together, and we should be excellent to each other. I love that line. We should be excellent to each other, COVID or no COVID. Excited for the new
Bill and Ted's. I was just thinking that.
Yeah. I wanted to join in the Would You Rather bandwagon, but it's not my strong suit. I'll try anyway. That's okay, Kate. Would you rather have to dress in full drag for the rest of your life or a cumbersome dinosaur outfit, the ones with metal framing inside that sits on your shoulders to support the dinosaur head? Whoa. Drag.
It's easy.
Easy. Easy.
Even if it's like crazy stiletto heels.
Yeah, I think it would have to be. I don't think you get away with just like a wig and a little bit of rouge and like a crop top. I think you got to go all out, like, you know, birdcage style.
I think what it comes down to is I'd rather be a woman than a dinosaur.
Yeah, but also
I think it's just that simple.
Of course. And it's more acceptable socially. I mean, here's what I think it should be.
It sounds so uncomfortable to wear the big head.
Exactly, yeah. I think the drag outfit has to be
like fishnets.
It has to impress Neil Patrick Harris.
That's got to be the measure. It has to be like Hedwig.
Yes.
Hedwig drag.
Yeah. It's got to be like, he's got to be like, damn.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And it'd be a lot to do every day.
Heavy makeup.
Wearing heels is hard. If you've never tried it, I have. It's very difficult. I still would do the full drag.
I wouldn't want that big dinosaur head on me.
Yeah. And then you're like the dinosaur guy.
Yeah.
Instead of just like a Fierce Fabulous.
You're not living as a human, really. You're living as a dinosaur.
Exactly. This way, and, you know, let's face it, it can be cool.
I thought you were going to say, let's face it, I'm not that far off from anyway.
Even though you're wearing, as Maggie pointed out, a little kitten headband. You have a good start.
Okay, well, I just want to, for the record, say that I'm wearing this because I want to keep my hair out of my forehead.
I understand.
Yes.
And then Kate goes on to say, local business shout out. Oh, good. Cake Girl in York. Cake Girl, one word. Gorgeous homemade. Oh,
doesn't cake sound so good right now?
Cupcakes. Oh, cake sounds great, but a cupcake.
Mm.
Fuck, I haven't had a...
Listen. What's your favorite cupcake combination? Chocolate-based chocolate top, vanilla-based chocolate top.
I think you know this. Mine is vanilla-based chocolate top.
And mine too. You don't both have vanilla-based chocolate top!
So anyway, that's Cake Girl in York if you're looking for a good cupcake. They're so delicious and don't care that you end up with all of it over your face, she says. You wish you could spread it all over your body. Whoa.
Jesus.
This
just took a turn.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. All the best, Cupcake, as she will now be known on the show. All the best and please stay silly. Heart emoji. Oh, Kate. Thanks, Kate. You too. Stay silly even though you are not – we're not in a silly time. And what she's doing sounds really intense. Well, thank you, and we're so glad we could keep you feeling a little silly.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you to Teresa Caputo, and thank you to Margaret for being such a good sport. And if you guys want to write us a letter, our email address is...
Maggie.
LifeIsShort@Wondery.com.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to Maggie. Thanks to Teresa. Thanks to Kate and everyone who's listening.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It's co-hosted and produced by you,
Christian Long.
It's also produced by Megan.
Monaco.
Senior producer is Michelle.
Mish.
Lanz.
Audio engineer is Sergio
Enriquez.
Executive producers are Marshall.
Louie.
And Hernan.
Lopez.
For who?
Wondering.
Okay, all right.
Excited for your big debut tomorrow?
I don't know. I haven't really had much time to think about it, to be honest. Could you take a picture of me on my... Oh, look, this is a good prop. Right before I get on this call in 1 minute. Oh, wait, let me put a pencil on it. Oh, shit. Can you get the whole outfit?
I did.
Business on top, party on the bottom.
Ooh. So you're excited about tomorrow?
Was that my way of showing you that? Let's just chat about it. I just can't wait now.
You just got recorded.
What?
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.